The Kitaras Asamim, very fragrant and very aromatic. It's in the Beis HaMikdash, of course. It has to be splendid and majestic and convey a sense of the beauty and the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beis HaMikdash. It has to be very attractive. And yet, one of the Kitaras, one of the ingredients, is called Chelbana. Chelbana was very foul-smelling. It was disgusting. And yet, Chelbana was included with all the Kitaras. So what does Rashi say? It's a famous Rashi, and it parallels the famous Gemara, but we're going to distinguish a little bit between Rashi and the Gemara. So let me give you the theme, and then we'll read the theme in a Gemara and Sukkah, and then we'll think about the differences between the Gemara and Sukkah and Rashi. The theme is that we should even include Rishayim in our community. It shouldn't just be for Tzaddikim. So even if you're Chalbana, you're not sweet-smelling, you're not aromatic, you still have a place. Now this recalls the Gemara, the Medrash about Dalet Minim, that some of the Minim produce fruit and produce smell. Some of the Minim produce fruit but don't produce smell. Some of the Minim don't produce anything, like the Ravos, no smell, no fruit. And still we make one Aguda, right? Lulav, we make an Aguda to show that the Rishayim, even people who aren't Tzaddikim, are included within our grouping. But here it's a little bit different, and I'll read language of Rashi. It's the same general theme, but it's a little bit different. Rashi says, the reason we have Chelbana, shelo yekel b'yineinu, it shouldn't be beneath us, litzarev imanu ba'gudas tani yoseinu v'tfilaseinu as poshe Yisrael. It shouldn't be beneath us to have poshe Yisrael in our tefillah, because Ketaras is like a tefillah. There are three differences between the Chelbana message and the Arava message. They're both similar. You put an arava in the dalet minim, even if it doesn't produce fruit. You put chelbana into the spices, even though it has a bad smell. Number one, arava doesn't have a bad smell. It's just barren. It just doesn't produce anything. There's no fruit. There's no smell. It's plain. It's vanilla. It's empty. So you think from the Gemara and Sukkah, there are people who aren't tzaddikim, people who don't learn enough, people who don't perform enough mitzvahs. You should include them in your community. Chelbana smells terribly. Chelbana is not just someone who is tarev or neutral or isn't performing, but even someone who sinned, even someone who has that moral stench, there's a room for that person in the community. Obviously, every community has to make different decisions about how to maintain standards while still creating inclusion. Number two, the lulav is a mitzvah, so you're including barren aravos in the mitzvah symbolically. The ketaras is only mizbeach, it's like a tefillah. That's why Rashi says, you should not just include them in your community, but include them in your tefillos and your tanios, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants us not to discard, but to try to embrace and incorporate. So it's a big chiddush in Rashi, in this parsha. Not just to include the arava and the lulav, but to include the smelly chelbana on the mizbeach. Third difference between the two is, that when you put something that smells offensive next to 10 other Kitaras spices that smell well, what's going to happen? The smell's going to rub off. And that Chelbana won't smell that bad anymore. The other 10 spices will be air freshener. When you put the Arava in the Dalet Minim, you're not changing the complexion of the Arava. The Arava still doesn't create peros. The Arava still doesn't create smell. You're just including. The goal of inclusion is to try to change the smell of the chelbana. Is to try to make the entire community, the entire group of ketaras, to make it smell better and to make it smell superior. Those are the three differences between the message of the chelbana and the message of the arava. Number one, arava is just barren. Chelbana is foul smelling. Number two, not just to include in the community, but to include in our tefillos and in our tanios. Number three, the goal is to put the rishayim that smell bad into a communal mix so that they'll start to smell better. So it's a very, very intriguing Rashi. Another very interesting Rashi. Hashem says that I'm going to speak to you from on top of the luchos, from on top of the Aron HaKodesh. This is a pasuk in a Rashi that appeared several times earlier in Parshas Terumah. Hashem says, Asher iva'ed lecha shama. What does the word iva'ed mean? It should be Asher adaberit chashama, Asher avol chashama, Asher eira'el chashama. This wort appears in Truma, in Kitisa. The Aron is targeted, is tagged as the place of Asher Iva'ed L'chashama. What does Iva'ed sound like? Moed. What does it Moed mean? Time. Why is Hashem using a word about time when he should be using a word about presence and coming? Rashi senses this awkwardness. Listen to Rashi's pshat. What is Asher Iva'ed L'chashama? Kol Ma'adei Dibor She'ekvalecha. Whenever I make a time to speak, so I need Kovam Le'osamakam. I'll make the time to speak on that place. It's a very awkward way of saying. I say, Jason, I'm going to come spend Shabbos in your house. You invite me to your house on Shabbos. I wouldn't say, Jason, I'm coming for Shabbos. I'm not going to say, Jason, I will set a time to come for Shabbos. I'm going to time you for Shabbos. I'm going to come for Shabbos. Why? Asher Iva Eid L'chashama. Why is it called Oel Moed? Why is the Oel called time, not place? The answer is that if Hashem were to write, I'm going to come to you on the Aron, or I'm going to stay in the Oel, Oel Hashem, then you think that Hashem's presence can only be felt in the Oel Moed, in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Aron. That's where I'm coming. That's where I'm speaking. You can't speak to me anywhere else. You can't feel my presence anywhere else. So Hashem says, no, no, no. When I set a specific time to talk to you, that's going to be the platform in which we speak. Don't think that that's the only place I am. Hashem were to write Asher Eyashama, Asher Egalashama, Asher Eyashama, Asher Tabershama. You think, okay, that's the location, the Aron. That's the location, the Olmo. If you're home in a long shvut, well, Hashem's not really speaking to you. If you're home in Queens, Hashem's not really speaking to you. You can't feel the presence of Hashem. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. It's only in Florida. It's only on the Mizbeach, on the Aron. So Hashem says, no, when I set a time for a specific set of instructions to give you some Torah, that's where we're going to meet. But don't think that that's the only place that we meet. It's such a deep idea in Yiddishkeit, and it's so subtly conveyed by the pasuk. Finally, we have a first mention of the juxtaposition between Shabbos and Beis HaMikdash. It will reappear in Vayakil that Melechas HaMishkan is not Darche Shabbos, and Vayakil is really where it's highlighted because it talks about the Isser of those of Aroesh. But here there's a little bit of a mention. So the Torah says, V'yatat Abel B'nei Yisrael Lemar, Ach es Shabbos Asai Tishmaru. After the Mishkan instructions are complete, Ata Tidaber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Ach es Shabbos Asai Tishmaru. So Rashi senses there's a lot of extra words in this pasuk. And the two extra words, Ata Tidaber al Bnei Yisrael, of course Moshe is speaking to Bnei Yisrael, Ata Tidaber. And why the word Ach? So each of these words contains a warning against Chilul Shabbos for the sake of building Beis HaMikdash. But they're very different. The first pasuk Rashi says, I'll just paraphrase for you, is, oh, you think the Beis HaMikdash is so important because we've been spending so much time? It's not more important than Shabbos. You're giving so many tzivuim about the Beis HaMikdash. Datat debel b'nei Yisrael, you're giving tzivu the Mikdash? Don't think it's more important than Shabbos. The second one is, Ach, Rashi says, you may be so busy and hurried to build the Mikdash, you may be there for Shabbos. Be careful. Don't be too busy. Don't be too frazzled. There are two times that we commit averos. Not be mazed, chas v'shalom, which is go out and do an avera because we want it. But there are two types of averos that we commit. This is a microcosm. This is symbolism. Sometimes we commit an avera because we value other things greater than mitzvahs or greater than averos. We value the mikdash greater than Shabbos. We evaluate something in our lives as being important enough that we're willing to let things slip, not pay enough attention. So Hashem's warning Moshe, don't value the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan more than Shabbos. Don't make that decision that the Beis HaMikdash has so much Kedusha that you can recall Shabbos. But then there's another type of sin where we just, like, we lose our focus. We don't pay enough attention. We fall into sin. We're too busy. We don't think about our tefillah because we're right. So Hashem tells Moshe, by the way, that's another way you could sin. You'll just be so busy with the Mikdash, you'll forget it's Shabbos. I mean, in a literal sense, you'll lose track of time, but in a metaphoric sense, you'll just be so busy and harried and you won't have time for the important things. Actually, you made a decision that X is greater than Y. You know that the Aveira is important. You know that the Mitzvah is important. Time gets you. Pressure gets you. You lose. So Rashi says there are two tzivuyim that Hashem tells Moshe. Atata tabel ben Yisrael, af al pi shifkaraticha letzavos amlechas amishkan, even though you have so many important mitzvos, al yekal b'enecha, don't make it light, litvos is a Shabbos. Don't make Shabbos lighter than the Mishkan. Ach, eshab sasai tishmaru. The next Rashi, af al pi shetia redufim bezrizim bezrizos hamalachas ha-shabbos. Even though you've been running around for the Mishkan, redufim bezrizim, Melecha Shabbos alti dechem miponeh. Be careful when Shabbos comes to stop. So it's about Shabbos and Mishkan, but it's really a symbol about sometimes where we either evaluate things as more important than a mitzvah or an avera, or sometimes we don't create that evaluation, we just, you know, we lose our focus, we become distracted, we become frustrated, we become panicked. And someone that keeps the halacha carefully is to really, as hard as you can, to really be makbid. Nothing is more important than a mitzvah or an avera. Everything else can wait. Not an avera, but avoiding an avera. Okay.